If you would pray with me, we're going to pray Ephesians 3, 18 through 21. Did some editing to make it plural, but it's something that I believe is there's power when we pray together. So let's pray together. The words of this prayer is on the screen. Let's pray. We pray that we may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that we may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Church, we live in a world of limits, don't we? I mean, we learn from a very early age that there are limits. We give our children candy and we say, don't eat a whole lot of candy. Don't eat all of the candy because you will get sick. We live with limits. Salt can bring out the best in food. It gives it flavor. It makes sweeter things sweeter. It kind of sounds weird. It does good. But as my doctor told me the past couple weeks, if you eat too much salt, it will impact your blood pressure. There are limits to the amount of salt that we can eat. We live in a world of limits. We limit the speed we can travel so that it can be safe for other drivers. We live with limits. One author, Gary Holloway, who's a professor at Lipscomb University, in his book, Praying Dangerously, he wrote, "We live in an age of limits, an age where science determines what is possible." Do you get what he's saying there? Science and reason determine what is real and possible, and we are driven by the scientific method, the scientific query. But this author continues his quote by saying, "Our God is not bound by limits." Let me say that again. Our God is not bound by limits. He stands outside our age and our universe, holding both in his hands. No task is beyond him. No cause is too hopeless. No outlook too bleak. Whatever we ask, God can do. You should say amen after that. We serve a God that is not limited or confined by science and reason. He works outside. He created science and reason. And so he is not bound by that which he has created. That is the message we are to lean into from this passage in Ephesians 3. It's a conclusion of a chapter where Paul is writing some beautiful things, and he concludes it starting at verse number 14 in chapter 3 by offering a prayer. And in this prayer, he acknowledges that with God, there are no limits. With God, there are no bounds defined by science. With God, there are no items left off the table when we go to him, because God is able to do abundantly more than we could ever ask or imagine. Do we accept that God is able? Do we accept that God is capable? Do we accept that God cannot be stopped? Do we accept that there is nothing God cannot do? Do we accept that we have unfettered access to God? Do we accept that God has given us an infinite power source that will never, ever run dry? Do we accept that with science, certain things are definite and possible, but with God, all things are possible? If we accept the above propositions, we can pray with confidence. Now to him who is able, who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than we can ask or imagine. And to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. This is what I've been repeating at 3:20 every day when my phone goes off. I start by quoting that scripture, and then I say a quick prayer. And it was a blessing this past week to be praying for others. That's what we were called to do last week, is to pray for others. And when I quote this scripture, I'm reminded before I pray for others that God has no limit. Accordingly, when we all pray, we can be bold when we pray, we can be direct when we pray, and we can be daring. And by daring, I mean we can ask God for anything. And this belief is not shaped solely on my reading of Ephesians. It's rooted in what God, through Jesus Christ, has told us over and over and over again. I direct your attention to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John, chapter 14. And here's a scene where Jesus is, he's about to depart. He's about to leave his apostles, and the apostles ask him, you keep talking about you're going somewhere. How will we know the way? This is where Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He previously talked about going and building some mansions, and they were just so curious as to what he was talking about. But let's pick up at verse number 8 in chapter 14 of John, where Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied. And Jesus said to him, Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. Again, on this occasion, shortly before he is taken away and eventually crucified, he is sharing a powerful word with his disciples. He wants them to know that even though he will not be with them as he was in the previous couple of years in the flesh, he will still be with them, and that they will have access to the Father through Jesus. And they can ask the Father through Jesus for anything. And Jesus left the disciples with a game plan for life. Church, prayer is the game plan. Prayer is that tool in our arsenal that Jesus deemed as the ultimate resource. Jesus made similar offers in other places in the Gospels. Recall, we read the instance where Jesus was asked to teach his disciples to pray in Luke 11. And following Jesus teaching them to pray the prayer, you know, the prayer that starts with our Father in heaven, holy is your name. Jesus continues to stress the significance of staying in a prayerful place. He says, this is Luke 9, verses chapter 9, or chapter 11, verses 9 through 13. He says, so I say to you, ask and it will be given you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be open. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Keeping our prayers daring or bold is a practice of taking God at his word. When Jesus says anything, we should take him at his word and ask for anything. The God of the universe is able to handle our requests. He is able to answer and grant requests based on the view he has of our world and his view of our lives. Accordingly, God holds the power to say yes, no, or not yet. But nevertheless, taking our daring requests to God is part of the rich relationship that we all have with God. And so when we pray, we can be daring. And so may we be daring when we pray for our spiritual lives and walks with God. May we ask bold requests of God to do something in us, to do something for us, to aid us in our walk with God. May we be daring when we pray for our families. There are some issues that's going on in our families and in our marriages and in the relationships that parents have with kids. May we be bold and daring to ask big requests for our families. May we be daring when we pray for one another. When someone asks us to pray for them, let's be diligent and faithful in answering that call to pray for that person. And if they're praying for healing, let's pray for healing. Let's be daring and bold. When we pray for the lost, may we be daring, not enough to just look at those who are without Jesus and say, man, they just need Jesus. That's a good comment. That's probably a correct comment. But why don't we get daring and pray for that person that doesn't know Christ? May we be daring when we pray for peace in our world. It's not enough to just watch the news and shake our heads at another war or another missile, but may we be daring and fervent and continued in our prayer for peace in this world. May we be daring when we pray for our leaders of our country. I don't care what party you're affiliated with. I don't care who you voted for. But may we be consistent and committed to praying for every leader that stands in a position of leadership in our community, in our country. Pray that God will bless them and lead them and that they would make decisions that come from a good place. May we be daring when we pray for our community, not just enough to get on our community boards and share the current gossip that's going on in our communities, but may we be consistent and committed to praying for the peace and prosperity of our communities. May we be daring when we pray for the mission of the church, that we pray that we're not just coming to church and sitting in a church building and doing church and going our separate ways, but when we go out, we go in to the community with a mission in mind to help God, to walk alongside God, to transform this world. May we be daring when we pray for our ministry strategies, that we don't just create a ministry just so that we say we created another ministry, but we know that we are in tune with God, that we are enjoying God and what he is already doing in the community. May we be daring when we pray for these ministries. When we pray, let's be daring or bold like the early church. When faced with persecution and opposition and haters, they prayed a bold prayer, literally a prayer for boldness. Peter and John were arrested. They tried and ordered not to speak another word about Jesus. When Peter and John returned to the church community after they were released, they shared the news with the community that they were forbidden to share the name of Jesus. And so the group there, they prayed. They had a prayer meeting in Acts chapter 4, verse number 24. That prayer is recorded. They prayed this. They said, "Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth, the sea and everything in them, it is you who said by the Holy Spirit through our ancestor David, your servant, why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples imagine vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers have gathered together against the Lord and against his Messiah. For in this city, in fact, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, gather together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. And now, Lord, look at their threats and grant to your servants to speak your word with all boldness, while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. Church, I want you to note, they didn't pray for the order to be rescinded. They didn't pray for the retaliation against their enemies. They didn't pray for an escape route to another city or region. They prayed a daring prayer, or a bold prayer, or a dangerous prayer, that they might be even more adamant about the preaching of Jesus. Now, that's the type of prayer that I want the Reynoldsburg Church to be known for. That's the type of prayer that I would love to see in everyone's life, including my own. That's the type of prayer that will change lives, change communities, and change the world. That's the type of prayer that is flowing out of a firm belief that God is real, that God is active, and God is not playing when it comes to his promises. That's the type of prayer that God is certain to answer in the affirmative. It was after that prayer that the place they were praying shook. Verse number 31, Acts chapter 4, when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God with boldness. I pray that we would pray daring and bold prayers that would shake this building. Well, not too hard. I don't want the building to fall apart. But I want God to shake this place. More than that, I want God to shake our lives. How many of us need some shaking up in our lives? Don't we need some things shaken in our lives? Some of our lives need a shake up. And the remedy is to pray a daring prayer for God to demonstrate his power in our lives. Some of our homes need a shake up. The remedy is pray a daring prayer for God to heal our marriages and heal our relationships with our kids, or fix the challenges our kids or spouses may have, or that we may have personally. Our communities need a shakeup. The remedy is pray a daring prayer that we will meet God in the community to join God in what God is already doing in the community. This world needs a shakeup, and the remedy is pray a daring prayer for the end of slavery and the end of forced labor, a daring prayer for the relief of those enduring poverty and homelessness and exploitation. If ever there was a time to be daring in our prayers, the time is now. And so, today's invitation is to live life on the edge and to be as daring as we can possibly be, particularly when it comes to our prayer lives. Be willing to ask God anything. Be willing to be bold and daring and dangerous in our requests to God. To state emphatically with the words that come out of our mouth, and to demonstrate enthusiastically that we worship a God of endless possibilities, down to him who is able to do abundantly more than all we could ever ask or imagine. And because we worship this God of endless possibilities, we have no other intention but to place our wholehearted trust in him, especially when we pray. When we pray, let's believe the God who's listening to our prayers. Let's believe that he has the power to hear us and to heal us and to say yes to us. Let's put all that we have into our prayers. Let's stop the doubt in our prayers. Let's stop the questioning in our prayers. Let's stop the hesitancy in our prayers. And let's pray daring prayers. Let's pray bold prayers. Let's pray dangerous prayers. Let's pray those prayers when we're alone, when our alarm goes off, or when we wake up in the morning, or when we're doing our Bible study time. Let's be daring and bold in our prayers. Let's be daring and bold in our prayers when we pray pray with each other right before we study. If you're in a Bible study, before you study your Bible, pray a daring, bold prayer that God would speak boldly to us as we open up the Word and study. Pray a bold and daring prayer when we're engaging someone who has questions about Jesus and they want a life with Jesus. Pray a bold and daring prayer that the words that may come out of your mouth may be something that leads that person to say yes to Jesus and no to the world. Be daring and bold with our prayers when we come together for worship. Let's stop asking as timid beings. God says, stand up. You're my child. I'll give you what you ask for. So let's be bold and daring in our prayers. And when we do, life for us will never, ever be the same. We'll never be the same. We'll be changed. Change in our relationships, change in our walks with God. We'll never, ever be the same again. We're going to sing a song right now, I Will Never Be the Same Again. As we're singing this song, if you have a prayer request on your heart, why don't you go ahead and pray that bold and daring prayer while we're singing. If you need someone to pray that prayer for you, you're just not there, that's fine. We'll pray a bold and daring prayer for you. If you want to come forward and share your request, we will pray that prayer. We will surround you. Not only that, just pray that prayer here. We'll commit for the rest of the week, the rest of the month, or however long it takes to pray that bold and daring prayer for you. Because we want our lives to be changed. We don't want to be the same. Once we encounter the living God in this relationship that He has so graciously invited us into, there is no way to walk away without being changed. If today is the day that you want to give your life to Jesus, today is the day that you want to be bold and daring in your life by saying, you know what? I'm going to display my ultimate trust by saying, I'm not going to trust myself any longer. I'm not going to trust people on this earth any longer with my life. I entrust it all to God. Church, that's a daring move. It's a bold move, but it will be a blessing of a move. So if today is a day that you want to declare Jesus to be your King, be your Lord, be your Savior, you want to be baptized into Jesus Christ, we'll do that. And we will pray a bold and daring prayer that each step of your life this day forward will be in the power of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. So let's stand. Let's sing this song. If there's a way that we can be helpful to you, feel free to come forward and share your need. Let's sing.